Mr. James Craig, Real One. Could you tell me when and where you were born, Mr. Craig?
I was born in Stirling, in Scotland, in 1921.
And what was the exact date?
The 2nd of April, 1921. And I just missed April Fool's Day by a few hours, actually. 7:45 in the morning I was born. Yeah.
And could you tell us a bit about your family background? You know, your parents.
Oh, yes, yes. My father came from local, not local actually, came from a place called Beath in Scotland. And when I knew him, he was, by the time I was born, he worked on the railway. He worked for London Midland Scottish Railway. And he was a fireman and then a driver towards the end of that. My mother was a local girl in Stirling, and they were married in 1918, I think. He did his. He was in the army during the First World War.
Do you know who he served with?
Yes, I'm not sure of the regiment he served with, but he spent a lot of his time in the Middle East, and I've got some pictures of him by the Suez Canal and things like that. You know, quite interesting, really. Yeah. He was a driver, and unfortunately he died when I was about 12 in 1932. By this time the family had grown. There was five of us, you know, so my mother was left a widow with five children, which wasn't easy in those days, you know, because I don't think they got widow's pension wasn't much, about 10 bob a week or something, you know.
I presume with five children she couldn't go out to work.
She did go out to work a bit, because luckily our grandmother lived just round the corner, and we had an aunt who was fairly close, so she helped out the family as well. But she did do work part time, but she looked after us very well. And when I think now, I look at my daughter, I think, well, my mother was a widow when she was her age, you know, with five children. I was the oldest of the family, actually, and the other four were all younger than me.
So it was quite hard, but it was you were a happy family from that.
It was difficult, but we lived in a nice spot, actually. It was a little house made into two flats which stood in its own grounds, and we had a nice play area and everything. Very lucky to in those days to be brought up in such circumstances, you know. It was rather nice where we lived. We were a happy enough family, yes, yes.
Oh, now
yes,
what about your education?
The education, I went to a school that was just round the corner as well, usually late actually. They say the nearer you were to the school, the later you got when you got in, you know. So I did the usual thing until you were 11, a sort of primary school. And then in Scotland, the educational system, they had comprehensive schools. I went to one of those afterwards, and I did a secretarial course and shorthand and typewriting and bookkeeping, which I was quite good at, but I didn't fancy it as a career, really.
Were you good at any particular subjects or any particular interest in, you know, I mean, that you'd either liked or didn't like subjects?
I liked geography, particularly liked geography, yeah. And that gave me an interest. I was interested in travel and reading. I used to read all sorts of travel books. Right beside where we lived, there was the local library, and I spent a lot of time in there reading books. They were mostly travel books and biographies, and didn't go in for fiction much. I didn't go in for fiction a lot, but they were mostly travel and biographies and things like that.
Did you have any hobbies other than reading, you know?
Oh, yes. At a very young age, my father taught me film developing and printing, and I used to do that, and had my own camera from when I was about at a very young age, and I used to do my own developing and printing. and which I enjoyed. Actually, I used the kitchen as a dark room and did the developing and fixing and the mother's soup plates, you know, which had to be washed out properly before anybody could eat off them.
What would you photograph? I mean, what I mean, did you have a particular interest in like birds
mostly family photographs. Yeah, mostly family photographs. I used to have a number of hobbies. I used to be keen on doing things with my hands, like fretwork and marquetry and that sort of thing, and building models.
What about sport?
We used to have a half day sport from school, and you could have a choice where we were. You can either play football or rugby or go swimming, because the school had a swimming bath, and you could go swimming or you could play golf. The golf course was not too far from where I lived, so I used to play a bit of golf, yeah. And I liked swimming. Swimming was good. I was good at swimming. Yeah.
And were you in any of the boys' organisations that they used to have?
Yes, I was in the Boys' Brigade.
Now tell me about, what sort of activities did you do with the Boys' Brigade?
Oh, we did. Plenty of marching, an annual camp.
What was that like? What would you do on the camp? Where would you go? What would you do?
We went to various places. We went to in Scotland, mostly, of course, we went to Carnoustie, various places round the coast there, Pitlochry. You went off for a week and lived under canvas for a week, which was quite exciting, really. And you had a nice little uniform.
What was the uniform?
Grey trousers, a dark jacket with a white sash and belt, and a pillbox-type hat. Yeah, that was quite good.
How military was it?
Fairly military, actually.
In what way?
Drilling and falling in and parades and annual parades through the town and that type of thing.
You go on that? What was it like?
Oh, yes, I did. It was good. I quite enjoyed it. And I was pleased that I was able to become fairly proficient at marching and all that type of thing, you know. Stood me in good stead, really. Yeah.
Now, so what happened, what happened when you left school? You left at 14, did you?
I left at 14, yes.
So that'd be 1935?
Yes.
And what were you going to do?
Yeah. No, I'm wrong. I stayed on a bit after that. I stayed on till I was 15. Because from a very early age, I wanted to go to sea. I think that
now
was my interest in geography.
Now, tell me, what made you want to go to sea?
I don't know. I think it was my interest in geography in the different parts of the world. And I used to sit with my friend and we used to look at the maps and say, when I grow up, I would like to visit so-and-so and all the next thing. And I was interested in the sea, just up from Stirling is a town called Alloa, which they have a little harbour. And on Saturday afternoons, we used to have a Topney ride on the train, a fourpence return, I think it was, and used to go and look at the ships in the harbour and see where they'd come from, and, you know. That was another interest that I had.
And so what happened when you left school? You left school when you were 15?
Yeah.
And what were you going to do?
Well, by the time I got to 15, I'd already decided. I was determined to go to sea. And
Now, with the Navy or with the Merchant Navy?
Well, at first, I wasn't clear. All I'd wanted to do was to be a sailor. Now, before the war, they had a fair at that time, 1936, recruiting drive, because the war was, you know, looming a bit large, and there was a big recruiting drive, and I used to collect bits out of the paper into a scrapbook of all the ships and listen to things on the radio, about life in the Navy and various recruiting posters. There was one in particular that I remember, the sailor in his lovely white shore-going suit abroad, standing talking to a Spanish senorita. And I thought, that looks pretty nifty, you know, I might have some of that. So I eventually decided and applied to join the Navy.
Now, how did you go about joining the Navy?
I wrote off in the first place, and then I had a letter back to say you had to be of a certain age. They didn't take you until you were 15 and a half. I think that was because of the school leaving age. So I applied when I was 15. As soon as I left school, and they said they would contact me further, and in November of that year, I actually joined up, and I had to go to Rosyth to join at the depot ship in Rosyth.
So that's November 1936.
Yes, yeah.
And what happened when you got to Rosyth? That's where they did all the paperwork and the medical checks.
You did a medical check, and they gave you an educational test.
What was that like?
It wasn't all that easy, even though I just left school, you know. I had to think a bit, but I managed it all right. There was no problem. It was the usual arithmetic and that type of thing, you know. And the medical check was quite severe, eyesight and colour blindness and height and your chest and all the usual things they do for a medical test. That was quite...
Anything else happened at Rosyth? That's where you signed your papers in?
Oh, yes, yeah. Well, I did. I went to the site from Stirling. I had to go to Dunfermline on the bus and then get the tram from Dunfermline down to the site dockyard. And I got down to the site dockyard. It seemed to me that half the fleet was in there. And I was wandering around the dockyard looking at all the ships and, you know, and having a good time. I thought, oh, that's nice, you know, and that'll be so-and-so and that'll be a destroyer. And a sudden voice bawls out, is your name Craig? I said, yes. He says, we've been waiting for you. He says, and you're wandering around the dockyard looking for ships. They should have reported at a certain time. It was a bit late. Yeah.
So anything else about your time at Rosyth, signing the papers and everything?
Not really. I did the medical and the educational exam and... signed the papers and everything, and then they said they would write to me shortly, you know. So within a very short space of time...
What did your mum think? How did she react?
She, I think, was happy because at that age you had to have your parents' signature before you could join on. And... she did sign. She did sign. And I think she was happy enough. In fact, she did say she had a friend whose brother was an instructor at the Ganges. And she asked her friend to ask her brother for him to keep an eye on me. When I got to Ganges,
how did you get? Because that's a long way away from Stirling.
It is.
I mean,
it is.
What happened? This you reported there in November, didn't you?
Yeah. I had a letter to report to the central station at Glasgow at a certain time, and I went through with my mother. She saw me off. We went through to Glasgow and we met a recruiting chap there who took us in. I think there was about six of us altogether from at that time. There was about six of us. And we went on the train from Glasgow to London, then from London to Harwich, and then across the harbour. to the Ganges.
Now, had you ever done a journey like that before?
I've never been outside Scotland before. The furthest I'd been was down to the air. Well, my father working on the railway, of course, we got free rail travel. And we used to go on holiday once a year. We go down the Ayrshire coast up to Aberdeen. But that's about as far as I went. I'd never gone any further than that before. Funny thing, that train journey down to London in November, it was a rotten, wet, cold, miserable day. And I hardly remember anything about it at all, apart from the fact that I spent most of the time looking through a misted up window, you know.
Now, when you got there, you're arriving. How did they receive you and take you in?
We arrived in London, changed trains, got the train to Harwich, went down to the pierhead at Harwich, and went across, and they picked us up, the half dozen of us or so, picked us up on a steam picket boat and took us across the harbour. I thought that was quite good, really, the steam picket boat. And I thought, oh, look at these old sailors. And then I found out afterwards that they were trainees, just the same as I was going to be. Yeah. Anyway, we went across there. By this time, it was getting late-ish in the evening. And I can't say I was quite impressed with the place itself, but I wasn't particularly impressed with the food that they gave us.
Why not?
A sort of tin plate with stew in or something, you know, some sort of stew. A large chunk of bread with some margarine, and a large tin cup of tea in, you know. So I wasn't too impressed with the food. I thought, I hope it's going to be better than this. But as a matter of fact, it was. It wasn't too bad, the food, really. No. At least it was four meals a day. Yeah.
We'll talk about that. And what else did they do? So if they fed you, what else?
They fed us. Well, by this time it was fairly late, so we didn't have the time to do anything else. They just took us to a mess deck and gave us some bedding. They gave us that, and we turned in for the night, and that was it, really. Nothing else happened that evening at all. No.
Have they shouted? Have there been a lot of shouting?
Or
were they reasonable and calm and quiet?
Yeah, everything was, you know. Well ordered, but then there was no shouting or bawling or anything like that. No.
Next day, what about kitting out, haircut, things like that?
Next day. And the first thing we did after we must do was get our kit issued.
Now tell me, what exactly they gave a uniform and kit, as far as you remember?
I never had so many clothes in my life. There was two blue suits, that's the best blue suit, and an ordinary blue suit, a couple of white suits, some sports rig of different colours, pyjamas, underwear, towels, everything, two pairs of boots, socks, the lot, you know, a sailor's hat, everything, you know. Yeah. After...
And did they fit? I mean, how did they measure you up for it?
Well, you put them on, and the tailor came round and did an alteration if need be. After you had been there some time, actually you got measured up for a real posh number one suit, you know, which was rather nice, really, yeah.
That was made to measure them.
Yes.
What about the haircut?
The haircut. Everybody got a haircut. And it was a short back and sides. Mine was pretty short anyway, so it didn't make much difference to me. Some of the lads who had longer hair, you know, suffered a bit.
Now, what sort of accommodation were you in? Can you describe the room you were in? Was it in the main block or were you in the annex at first?
The first couple of weeks, you were in the annex.
Now, what was the annex?
It was a sort of a block with about four messes in, surrounded by a fence, and part of, but slightly separated from, the main part of the establishment, you know.
And why were you put in that?
Well, it's just to get you kitted out, drilled up. All this kit that they gave, in fact, you stamp your name in it. You know, on the blue stuff it was a stamp with white, and on the white stuff a black stamp. And then we find out you had to sew your name into your kit, which you did in a sort of chain stitch. Now, you had to go through every article of clothing, even your socks, and sew your name onto it, you know. Now, my name being five letters, it wasn't too difficult. But there was, I think there was a chap in our class called Asselbury, you know. So those of us who'd finished ours quickly sort of helped out the chaps with the bigger names, you know, helped you finish sewing the kit. So that was it. So every bit of kit had to have your name sewn in.
Now, you said you were being drilled up. They're teaching you basic drill. Now, how valuable was your boys' brigade stuff?
I mean, oh, very, yes. The drill gave me no trouble at all. The drill gave me no trouble whatsoever.
Did you enjoy drill?
Yes, it was all right. Yes, yeah. I like to be able to do things well. Yeah, and it was pretty good, actually.
Did you see the point of drill for the Navy? I mean, at the time, I mean.
Yes, I did, really, because you always had pictures of naval brigades marching and that type of thing, so I didn't think there was any particular reason for not having drill, you know. And of course, the idea of drill is to teach you discipline, isn't it, you know. Now, discipline, it was quite strict at Gatlin's.
Well, tell me about it. What were the main rules? How did you get used to it?
Well, I think the first rude awakening you got was after the first night in the morning. We were opened by a Marine sentry with a very loud voice at 5:30 in the morning. You know, and from then on, it was a fairly busy day. Morning, afternoon, after tea, you used to have instruction and things even after tea. So you were left with...
Is this in the annex or when you got into the main...
That was in the annex as well, yeah.
Well, should we look at... We'll finish the annex, then we'll do a typical day in the main thing, pick things up. Anything else you did in the annex other than drill?
We did drill. They introduced us to boat work, which they used to call them the arcs, actually. There was two, boats, really.
Cutters.
Makeshift boats, but they were secured. So they taught you how to row without actually moving anywhere. You know, you sat in these things and rowed away, and they taught you boat drill. That was so you didn't make a fool of yourself when you got out into Harwich Harbour. So they taught you that. And they taught you the basics. They taught you the basics of drill. Got your kit ready, got you used to the routine, took you around various departments, gave us some more educational tests. I find to my horror, I had to go back to school. Well, it was at Ganges. You had a couple of hours a week at school.
You moved then. I'll pick that up in the basic day, because you did that in the main building as well, didn't you?
Yeah.
Now, when did you move out of Annex? After a month?
I forget. It was only a couple of weeks.
So what was the main? What was the main area? What were your main barrack room like? Can you describe it?
Well, there was a long row of barrack rooms. They called it the covered way. It was covered over, and the barrack rooms were on the right and left and stretched right down almost to Harwich Harbour. and the barrack room that I was in was 27 mess, which was right at the bottom on the left hand side of this long covered way. It was all right. You could look out one side and look over the harbour. There wasn't much to see on the other side, only the other barrack room.
And what was this barrack room like? Can you describe it for people who might...
The barrack room was divided into three parts, really. As you went in, it was up a couple of steps. As you went in, on the left-hand side, there was a pantry-type place for washing up and the cloakroom for hanging coats and things. On the right-hand side was a bathroom. As you went through the door, there was a concrete portion with a table on either side, which was a sort of dining area. Further than that, the third portion was a polished deck, wood block, parquet deck, which they polished. I thought it was highly polished. And I found out why, you know, you spent half your time polishing the damn thing, you know. And on the either side of this polished deck, there were beds about, I don't know, I think there was 40 in our class, so there'd be 20 beds on either side, all the way down, like the old hospital beds. And then at the far end, there was a big rack, and in that big rack went your kit bag.
So, so that was your barrack room. Now, if we look at a typical day's training, you know, when you're in the main blocks, that'll sort of cover a lot of the things about the gantries. What time would you, what was the morning, sort of first thing in the morning? What time would you get up?
Half past five. Then you got cocoa and biscuits. 5:30. At 6 o'clock, you fell in on the quarter deck, and then you spent an hour clearing up, tidying up, sweeping up.
Now, how strict was the cleaning of the? That's cleaning your rooms, isn't
oh,
it?
Oh yes. Oh yeah. Oh, very strict. Very strict. Yes, it had to be spot on. Yeah.
How did you clear how did you do the parquet floors? Were they using bumpers or what?
You had big bumpers, and then. Once a week, before they did Saturday morning rounds, they cleared all the beds to one side, and you got down on your hands and knees and polished it with hand polishers, you know, which is hard work.
That's the floor. What else did you have to clean in the barrack room?
You had to do all the dishes, all the pots, pans, everything else. You had to clean all those with... white powder, forget what it was now, like fire clay stuff, you know, cleaned all the brasswork, you had to clean all the windows, sweep up, some would be detailed to clear the bathroom, some would be detailed to clean the washing up place, and so that was it.
But you wouldn't, this isn't where you'd lay your kit out on your bed? At this time, this first hour in the morning.
Oh no!
No, right.
Oh no!